Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Kia Stevens. Kia is on the show today talking about how a little forgiveness goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. If you have been hurt, neglected, rejected, or abandoned by your father, it may feel like every aspect of your life is affected by that broken trust, even your relationship with God. But there's hope. Your father wounds do not have to have the last word in your life. God does. In this episode, Kia Stevens shares her own story of father wounds along with examples from wounded women in Scripture who were transformed by the love of God. Join us as she helps you identify your father wounds and offers practical tools to help you overcome insecurity, low self-esteem, and unforgiveness so you can connect with God as your loving Heavenly Father. Take heart, daughter. You can be made whole again. Well, hello, Kia, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here, Rachel, and hi, all the listeners. Hello.
So today's conversation is all about how a little forgiveness goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way. And you've written Overcoming Father Wounds, Exchanging Your Pain for God's Perfect Love. And so we're starting off strong, Kia, so thanks for being a good sport. Would you take us back to when you first felt wounded by your father?
Sure. I would have to say that I really didn't discover my woundedness until college. It was freshman year of college. I remember being in a dorm room with a friend, and I mentioned this bookshelf that was in her room, and she said, "Oh, I made that bookshelf with my dad." And it was in that moment that I realized I didn't have what she had. She had a relationship. It took a relationship to build that bookshelf. And it was all I could do to get out of her dorm room so I could have a really good cry. And that was the first time I really felt wounded about the situation. There would be many, many more times that I would discover that I was upset or I was angry or I was bitter or I was frustrated, but it was kind of like an evolution of discovering my feelings. I was just sharing with a friend recently that sometimes you can function and do all the things, go to the grocery store, go pick out some clothing, go shopping, cook dinner, do all the things, and not really realize that you've been impacted by something in your childhood until you're triggered. And then you're catapulted back to that time, or you're able to come face to face with raw emotion of what you feel about a particular event that happened or a word that was said and spoken over your life.
So at what point did you develop a relationship with God as your father?
You know, that I would say that was an evolution too. When I was in my teens, I probably really started to have honest conversation with God, even though there were some areas of my life that I was like, well, this is kind of off limits. This is kind of some secret sin that I want to hold on to. But really in my teens and maybe a little bit in middle school, I grew up in the church. So, you know, I mean, church was not a question, and kind of it was synonymous with God. You know, we were Southern Baptists, so I was there on Tuesday, on Wednesday, some Friday, some Saturday, some Mondays, and multiple times on Sunday. So I remember just doing the things that was expected of me to do. I remember when I accepted Christ, you know, the whole walk down the center aisle and sit in the chair and then you get baptized. I did it because I wanted to receive communion. I wanted the crackers and the grape juice that all my friends were getting. So, you know, I just did the things that were kind of expected. This is what you do. But in terms of really beginning to have an intimate conversation about the details of my heart, about the questions, the things that you begin to question as you get older. God, I've discovered that I feel wounded towards my dad. Are you really able to address that need? It feels like a huge vacuum is in my soul, in my chest. you're invisible, God. I can't hear you. I don't see you. I cannot touch you. Is it really possible for you to impact the woundedness of my soul? And so that journey, I started being honest with God in high school, but that journey to really delve deeper into some of the childhood hurts and some of the traumatic experiences, that didn't happen, I would say, until maybe my mid to late 20s. Yeah.
Well, I'd love for you to dive deeper into that if you're willing. How did the broken trust with your earthly father affect your trust in God? I think that happens so frequently. If somebody has let us down here on earth, it makes us distrust our heavenly father. Because like you said, we can't see him. He's not as tangible.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good question. And years ago, I discovered this quote in the Washington Times that says, it's common for people to perceive that God is like the fatherly figures they had in their lives or their father. And then subsequently after that, years later after that, I did some counseling at my church that really said, if your father was distant, you could perceive that God is distant. If your father is passive, or if he's dominant, or if he's a dictator, you can ascribe those same types of qualities to God. And so, yes, my father was absent a lot of my life. And so even though I felt I was constantly in the church, there were some things that I felt like God was distant or absent. Like I would pray to him, I don't hear anything. So maybe you're not going to address that area in my life, or maybe I'm not that important to you as the next person. And maybe you don't really hear me as it relates to some particular things that I'm praying about, maybe been praying for years and years. So definitely the brokenness in my relationship with my earthly father impacted my relationship with my heavenly father. And it would take me really on into my 30s and my 40s. I'm in my 40s right now, you know, really unpacking the attributes of God, really seeing who he says he is in the pages of scripture, and beginning to search and look and ask the Holy Spirit to show me examples of those attributes in operation in my life. Like God is accessible. God is merciful. God is loving. God is compassionate. He is tender. He is just. He is kind. He is righteous. How do these attributes intersect with who I am, where I can see them in everyday life? You know, so as I began to do that, I began to see God as intimately concerned about the details of my life, that he is close. He can be a heavenly father for me. But it took time. It took time. I say that because in all these interviews I've been doing, you know, I'm trying to synthesize 20 plus years of transformation into a 30 minute or 45 minute podcast, or into a 250 page book. And that's really not going to do it justice. When you think about wrestling with God, some of the questions and the pondering of your heart, some issues, some things of God, why did you allow this to happen? And why couldn't it be like this? That takes time. That takes time to process.
Yeah. I just read, and I believe it was in Tara Lee Cobble's He's Where Our Joy Is. She says that the progressive reciprocation. And I had never really heard that term, because I have always, because I would say the same thing as you, you know, when I came to believe in God as my savior, it took a very long time to then get to know him as my Lord and as my friend and as my father. You know, that's as we're ready, he continues to reveal more and more of himself. And just like any relationship, we get to know each other more fully. So I think that that's so beautiful what you just said. You know, if we have a father on earth that didn't love us, we do have a hard time looking at our heavenly father, that he would be a loving God. And that's just, so we've got to just get in his word to learn about who he is, and he will reveal those things to us. And in your book, you focus on other wounded women that in scripture who were transformed by the love of God. So would you share maybe an example or two, whatever he's laying on your heart today, to share with us about some of those examples from scripture?
Sure. I'll pull the woman with the issue of blood. I just love her so much because she was wounded. She was wounded in her body for years. I haven't read over this, so I'm thinking it was 12 long years. And during those 12 years, she wasn't stagnant. She wasn't just nursing her wounds and sulking on the side of her bed. The scripture tells us she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She exhausted all of her resources. She was broke at this point because she had spent so much money trying to get healed and trying to be well. And I liken that to women who have identified that there's something wrong, who have identified there's a wound that I had incurred in my childhood from my mother or my father, whether they did it intentionally or not. And I've tried to be well, and I don't know how to be well. And I love that she got in her mind, well, there's one more thing I can do. She had never engaged with Jesus. She had never had a conversation with Jesus. She didn't know him personally. All she did was heard. She heard. And her hearing was enough for her to bypass all of the Jewish law that said a woman who is hemorrhaging should be isolated because she's considered unclean and everything she touches is unclean and every person that touches her is unclean. So she risked all of that for her healing. And then she didn't even want to be seen. Oh my goodness. I mean, just the lack of I guess self-esteem almost of what that woundedness had done to her. And she just took a risk. I love that she took a risk. She touches Jesus and she's just going to kind of peter on out into the crowd and go on back her merry way. She got her healing. But what I love about Jesus's response is that he says, "Who touched me?" Here you have an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, knows everything about everyone. He knows what's going to happen, what doesn't happen, why. He knows everything, but he says, "Who touched me?" Not for his own benefit, but for hers, because he wanted to acknowledge her, not as woman with an issue of blood, not as woman who is unclean, not as wounded woman, but daughter. And I love that story because therein again is the transformational work that God does in our heart. He takes us wherever he finds us, bitter, wounded, broken, angry, frustrated, busted and disgusted, wherever we are in life. He says, "Come as you are." And then he transforms our life and makes a beautiful portrait of his power and his grace and his mercy in the lives of humanity. So that's just one of the stories. I love what he does. I love that it was a woman. I love that she was unnamed. She was basically a nobody in society. And Jesus stopped what he was about to do. I believe he was going to heal Jairus's daughter. But he stopped what he was doing to say, "No, you are important. You matter. You have worth. You are not what they said about you. Your past does not define you. You are my beloved daughter. I see you. I see you." And he's saying that to us today. Mm-hmm. Wherever you find yourself, whoever's listening, God is saying, "I see you. I see you." And not only do I see you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about that wound, that thing that happened to you when you were 4, when you were 20, when you were 27, when you were 30, when you were 43. I'm concerned. I am intimately concerned about everything that concerns you, 1 Peter 5:7. So I hope that is an encouragement. You know, that's what I mean about the attributes of God. When I'm reading it, not as like a story or a fantasy or some fictional book, but like that's a real person. That's a real person. And the treatment that God has for this unnamed woman, he has the same treatment for me. me feeling like I'm a nobody and nobody's thinking about me. No, 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 no. God's thinking about me.
Is that the same story where he says to her, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well?
I think so. If I was a better Bible scholar, I would be able to tell.
I need to look at that.
But, yes, that's it.
But, no. and I just finished a study on Jesus and Women by Christy McClelland. And she said at every session, take heart, daughter, you know, and what she was saying is if God and Jesus did it for them in scripture, he's going to do it for you today. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just heard you saying, like what he did then, how he saw them then is the same way he's seeing and treating us today. And it's so beautiful to bring us out of our shame and to heal us. And even if we feel untouchable, he will touch us. He's not concerned or scared. And so just so, so beautiful. And so for the woman listening, that's like, there may be some women listening like, yep, I have a father wound and I know exactly what it is. And I can, you know, I have those moments and I can share, you know, the timeline of how it's happened. But there, it could be other women that are like, well, do I have father wounds? So how would you say we can identify even if we have one or not?
Sure. I would definitely say this podcast is an indicator. If you're listening to this podcast and nothing inside of you is your heart's not palpitating and you're just going about your merry way and you're not impacted at all, well, I would say maybe you don't have one. But if you're listening and some kind of way you've been catapulted to another time in your life, or you're feeling a little uneasy, or something inside of you is saying, yeah, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. I'm bothered. That's probably an indicator. A few more indicators that I'll just toss out is often our relationship with the opposite sex is a very big indicator, because just as fathers are the lens through which we view God, fathers are also the lens through which we view the masculine gender. They are our first introduction into the opposite sex. They are not only an introduction, but they also teach us what types of behaviors are appropriate in terms of engaging with the opposite sex. They also teach us our value and our worth apart from our anatomy. And so oftentimes women who were not fathered, even if the father was emotionally present, but physically present, but emotionally absent, oftentimes we turn to the masculine gender to get them to give to us what we did not receive from our fathers. And I had a running survey on my first blog, the Father Swap blog, where I had like over 900 women to fill out this survey. And many of them said, my father had father wounds. My mother had father wounds. I have father wounds. Now I have children that have father wounds, because unbeknownst to them, they were predisposed to replicating the pattern of selecting a man that doesn't really have the character or the authority to speak into their lives. They were gravitating to someone to pull out of them what they didn't receive. And so then we have broken homes. You know, 1 in 4 kids grow up in a father absent home. But then also not just there, but then in forgiveness, in the area of forgiveness, you know, forgiveness will eventually tell on you. If you have unforgiveness, let me say unforgiveness will eventually tell on you. If you are unable to make eye contact with a person, if you're unable to mention their name, if the very mention of their name causes you angst, or you find yourself emotionally responding, internally responding, that could be an indicator that everything is not okay between you and your father. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about reconciliation. I'm just talking about forgiveness, the act of relinquishing my right to hold another person responsible for the wrong that they've done to me, where I'm saying, you know what, God? I'm not dismissing, I'm not denying, I'm not justifying, I'm not excusing, I'm not masking, I'm not faking. This person legitimately did what they did to me at age such and such. It legitimately hurt me. What I am saying is my right to be angry and mad and frustrated and bitter about that, I'm giving that to you. I'm trusting that to you. I'm believing that when you say, vengeance is mine, thus say the Lord, that's really true. I am choosing to surrender all of that built up, pent up energy. I'm giving it to you, God, because I believe you're sovereign and capable of handling that. I don't have to do it. So that's another indicator. I don't know if I've stopped. I'll stop there because that's a lot. That is
no,
a
it
lot.
Was a lot of good. It was a lot of good. And I think that you keyed in on something, you know, just like we talked about this kind of progressive revelation of the Lord, forgiveness is also a process. Like this is not mm-hmm. going to be a switch flipped, you know, and there will be other triggers. It's like, gosh, I feel like I need to forgive again. Here mm-hmm. we go. Well, does that make sense? Like it's going to continue. You're going to continue to have, you know, another bookshelf moment, you know, or yeah, like, totally. Oh, that's like it's scratching the wound. The wound feels open again. You know, it's a constant healing. Do you mm-hmm. have anything? And I think too, just before you can have a boundary. I think, you know, when you're, and I thought that was so important what you said, like, we're not talking like you have to continue to have a relationship with this person. Yeah. You can, but maybe that's not what's best for you. Like forgiveness mm-hmm. doesn't mean you have to still have that person in your life. I don't know. Mm-hmm. My question, how do we forgive? And what does this process look like? That was a lot.
No, but I'm so glad you said that, because I think when it comes to forgiveness, that's why there's so much of this pushback, because it's like, oh, you, first of all, you don't know what this person did to me. So if you knew, you would not be telling me to forgive. There's this assumption that we have that we're giving the upper hand to the person who has wronged us, that we're allowing them to get away with something that they've done. We're allowing them to go unpunished. And that is not fair. That is not okay. But the reality is that forgiveness is for us. It's a common misconception. Forgiveness is for us because God has not designed us to walk around carrying unresolved issues, carrying unforgiveness, walk around carrying bitterness. That does some stuff in our bodies. That's producing some hormones and some other things that's not supposed to be in there. God designed us to live free. In John, it says, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. We can't have life to the full if we're walking around carrying unforgiveness. So how do we get there? I'm going to tell you how I got there. I want to say a disclaimer that I don't know how to forgive apart from Jesus Christ. So if you're listening out there and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I love you. I still love you. But the information I'm about to give you pertains to Jesus. And what I have done is a forgiveness letter. And I put this letter inside of my book. You can probably find one on the internet. But it walked me through all of the things that I needed to process in terms of what my father did, what I want to say to him, what blessing, if any, that I see in the situation and in him being absent from my life. It walks me through just the act of saying, I relinquish you. I'm choosing to forgive you. Now, why would I choose to forgive him? I'm choosing to forgive him because of what Christ has done for me. That's the crux. If I don't have Christ, I'm not forgiving nobody for nothing. There's nothing strong enough that would cause me to make a conscious decision to forgive someone. But because of Christ, and honestly, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Sometimes I used to visualize the Passion of the Christ. I really would. That movie completely messed me all the way up. If you guys haven't seen it, I used to visualize components of the Passion of the Christ, just so that I could remind myself what had been done for me and why it was enough weight on what had been done for me to choose to forgive whoever it was, whether it was my father or it was somebody else. What Christ has done on the cross actually encompasses everything that my father has done to me, will do in the future, did in the past, but it also encompasses me too. You know, and that was a whole revelation that I had, that Jesus died for me too. I'm not perfect. I am also a sinner with a grave past, you know, and still who sins presently. So I think that revelation helps me to offer grace when I'm able to view my sins and view Christ, his act on the cross, and view my sins in light of that, and realize I need the grace just as much as my dad does. You know, that has enabled me to forgive and to show grace. And again, not forget, not dismiss, not deny, not justify, just relinquish my right to hold my father responsible for any of the wrong he's done to me.
Even if he never apologizes?
Even if he never apologizes, because when we're holding on to unforgiveness because we feel like the person doesn't deserve it because they haven't said, I'm sorry, we're placing them in, we're giving them all the power. We're giving them all of the power. I don't want to give any person all the power like that, but God. So we're saying, I'm going to be imprisoned in hurt, imprisoned in shame or anger or bitterness or whatever I'm imprisoned in until I get an apology from this person. Truth be told, the person may never, ever, ever say, I'm sorry. Or they may never, ever, ever say, I'm sorry in the way in which we desire it. Some people say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I hate those kind. You know, or if you feel sad about it, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, that we don't even want, that doesn't even feel genuine or sincere. If we put ourselves in that place waiting on another person to make a decision, we could be there for a lifetime. We could go to the grave waiting on somebody to say, I'm sorry, in the way in which we desire it. And by then they probably would do something else that would hurt us. You know, now we're waiting on that I'm sorry too. That's a dangerous place to be, to wait on people. We can't change people. We can't control people. We can barely control ourselves. You know, the one thing that we can do is make a conscious decision that I am going to forgive this person to the best of my ability. And then the other thing I forgot to say is that after we walk through this forgiveness letter, and now I don't always sit down and write out a forgiveness letter, I'll just walk myself through the process. Do that, then we invite the Holy Spirit into this process with us and say, now, God, I have chosen to forgive this person for XYZ. Holy Spirit, will you please help my mind and my heart to follow suit? Because our mind and our heart, they go their own way. They do whatever they want to do. Thank God we got the Spirit. Thank God that we are triune beings. Because our mind is like, oh, no. We will not ever forgive so-and-so for that. Not in this lifetime, I won't. And our heart says, but I'm hurt. That made me feel like this. That's not fair. And look at him over there having the time of his life. No. That's what we need, the power, the same resurrection power that Christ exerted when he was raised from the grave. That's the power we need. Mm-hmm. And we say, Holy Spirit, will you please help my mind and my heart to follow suit? I want to forgive. You command us to forgive. You tell us to forgive in your word. I'm struggling. Can you help me? However many times we got to do it. We may have to do it 50 times in one day, 50 times the next day. But I guarantee you, if that's our heart posture to forgive, God's supernatural power will enable us to do what seems humanly possible. Forgiveness is both practical. There's something we have to do, but it is also supernatural. And I don't know about you, but I am tapping into whatever is available for me as a believer. I need that. I need that. The other thing that I was going to say that is also transformative is prayer. When we choose to pray for the person that offended us and wronged us and harmed us, you talking about doing some crazy stuff in your heart, transformation in your heart. And not just Lord bless them, but Lord cause them to prosper. If they're addicted to substances, God help them to be free of the substances. Lord, I pray that they might know you, that they might have a relationship with you. I can remember doing that, having a specific day of the week for my father. I still have that same day, you know, where it was like, if you don't ever pray for me, I'm going to pray for you. And God can work with that. He can work with that type of humility and that surrendering. And the other thing I want to say, I feel like I've been talking forever, but, you know, in my book, people occasionally ask, does your father know about your book, or what does he think about your book? And the amazing thing is that I do have a relationship with my dad. I love my dad. And I went to my dad. I flew to Texas. That's where I'm from, and took my dad out to eat. I pulled out my little pink laptop and I read the parts of the book that pertain to my father, because I knew that he probably wasn't going to read it. And, you know, I did it for the publisher, because the publisher has an information release that they want us to sign. But I also did it for me, because I want you to know what's in this book. And so in theory, before I got there, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. This is going to be easy. But when I sat down at that Mexican restaurant and looked at my dad, I was like, oh, this is going to be hard. You know, so I'm reading to my dad and I'm saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. Are you okay with that? I look up and say, are you okay with that? He said, yep, sure do. That's the way it happened. And I read a little bit more and I said, Dad, are you okay with that? And he said, yeah, I'm okay with that. So then I read a little bit more. The last time I look up and my father has tears in his eyes. And he said, I really need to apologize to you and your mother for da 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 da. He talks about, and I share more in the book about what he's apologizing for. And you know what, Rachel, at that point in my life, I didn't need it. I did not need the apology. I was not looking for him to provide anything for me. Everything I needed, I had already gotten it from God. That was a whole beautiful moment. That was like, look at what God did. Look at what God did. But then also, the other place that I saw God was in my response. I said, it's okay, Dad. We all have things we have to work on. And that was it. That was it. But that was from doing my forgiveness letter and praying for my father and getting in that prayer closet and duking it out with God and saying, I don't understand this and I'm not okay with this and I'm frustrated about it. You know, that's from years and years and years of that. To be able to say one statement, it's okay, Dad. We all have things we have to work on.
So I love that you were able to reconcile with your father, and you were able to respond in that way. And I think everything that you just gave is such practical, good advice. We've got to pray. We've got to get to know the Lord. It's got to be through the Holy Spirit. We can't forgive and do any of this apart from Him. And I think that's so beautiful. And, you know, I think, you know, so many of us, I think, listening would say, yes, I have father wounds, and just the world in general, you know, whether you have or not, there is somebody in your life that you know that has father wounds. And this helps give us grace for and compassion and empathy and sympathy for those women. And so I would love to hear from you. What is your hope? I mean, I've been teary the whole time you've been talking, thinking about the impact that your book is going to have on the world, truly, the amount of healing that needs to take place. And so what is your hope for the book? Why is it that you really wanted to write it?
Yeah, I'm feeling teary too. you know, and I was sharing with you earlier when we were off the air that I taught for 15 years and wow. The students that I work with, many of them came from broken homes and their moms came from broken homes. And I could, you know, I had this book, the Father Wound book, in me for about 20 years. So I could totally see it. I could totally see it. And then when you look at like the statistics, that 1 in 4 kids grows up in father absent homes, or they're more likely to become teenage mothers, more likely to be involved in crime or be addicted to substances, experiment with drugs, or you know all the statistics. My hope with this book is that we'd put a dent in that, that a woman who maybe has father wounds and might be predisposed to replicating the cycle in her own family might discover the hope that Christ offers us, where he says, you don't have to be wounded. You don't have to live wounded. You can live healed. You can live whole. I have really in the last year fallen in love with Psalms 147:3 that says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up our wounds. I cannot tell you how long I lived brokenhearted. And I thought that was all that there was, that if you have a broken heart, God's not capable of fixing it. So suck it up, buttercup. You know, that's your lot in life. But I have discovered that God is able to heal your broken heart. And then the binding of the wounds, I love the usage of that word because I just envision a mother or a father tending to a wound of their child. You know, if you get a bruised knee or a scrape or even need stitches, the act of binding up a wound involves cleaning that wound and putting healing balm on it, peroxide, neosporin, alcohol, choose your poison, pick your poison, and doing that again the next day and the next day and the next day until a scab forms and new skin appears. And sometimes the healing process is so good, you can't even tell where the scar was in the first place. And I liken that to that scripture, that that's what God is doing for our heart, for the bruises and the cuts and the deep wounds, the places where we needed stitches in our heart. He binds up our wounds. And I love that it's plural. It's not singular. That he'll bind up one father wound. If you identify a love wound or a trust wound or an affirmation wound or an insecurity wound or a provision wound, wherever your father wound intersected with your heart, God says he binds up all of them. That is hope that I want to catapult or cast out into the world. And I hope it lands on every broken heart, wherever the hearts are. I hope that it lands on good ground and takes root. And I believe in that way, we can make an impact. We can make an impact.
Well, it has certainly landed on my heart today. And I pray that over every woman listening right now as well. So I didn't know I was going to cry so much today.
Me either.
So tell me, this is kind of this closing question that I've been asking all of my guests, just tailored to the topic. And so how has a little forgiveness gone a long way in your own heart? I mean, already that's been our whole conversation, but I'd love to just wrap it up in that way.
I think that, and now I'm feeling teary because I'm thinking about where I have forgiven, but as it relates to my dad, you know, My dad is the most remorseful person for the wrong that he's done. He still apologizes to me, even though I don't need it. He is so tender when it comes to the goodness of God. He is so so broken. He lives as a broken man in the sense that he's aware of what Christ has done in his life. And the thought of missing that, I would be at a loss. You know, my husband's father passed away when he was a baby. So my kids would not have a grandfather at all. If forgiveness hadn't been a reality in my life, there's so many things I can point to, that have been blessings that I've been able to see, and it's still not perfect. It's not perfect. There are a lot of things I will never experience with my father. It is not perfect by far, but it is, dipped in the blood of God. You know, it's dipped in his redemptive power, his transformative grace and mercy, the perspective that I've been able to have on God, on me, on my dad, all of that I would have missed. I would have missed. I would have been less of who I am right now. I wouldn't even be able to do this interview. You wouldn't be crying. You'd be like, something's wrong with her. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, there's so much that I would have missed out on what God has done in me and in my father. Now, let me say, there's not always a bow. There's not always a bow on the other person. There's not always icing and a cherry on top. That's not always the case for the other person. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is, Lord, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in my life? If you choose to do something in the life of my father, if you choose to transform him and change him, to God be the glory. That is the cherry. That's an extra cherry. But the cake, we can't have anything without the cake. The cake is what you're doing in me. I want to see God, not just see him face to face one day when we die and all go on to glory. I want to see him right here on earth, smack dab in the middle of my messy, broke down, busted, disgusted, you know, place where I find myself. I want to see God right there. And if we're able to, if God's able to do that transformative work in our heart where we were once bitter and now we have forgiveness. We were once sorrowful and now we have joy. We were once hopeless and now we have hope. We were once void of love and now we are able to offer undeserved love. That's the cake. That's the cake. That's the goal. So I want to offer that because I know as women are contemplating this whole overcoming father wounds, I don't know, you don't know my dad. The outcome, the desired outcome is not what God will do with the other person. It's what he's going to do in us. And, you know, as you're closing, I just want to point out the ing on overcoming because it's present progressive. It's not a end point here. It's saying this is something that's ongoing and will be ongoing until we see our Savior face to face. I love Philippians 1:6. I think that's Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that he who has begun, he started it, a great work in you shall complete it. Woo, celebrate. Shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I may have jacked that up. So Bible scholars go and research that. But God's not going to just leave us hanging out here. He's saying, I'm going to finish that work in you. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be wondrous what he does in our heart. People are going to be like, oh my gosh, God did that for you. Wow. I remember when you were bitter. I remember the attitude you had. I remember the words that used to come out of your mouth. I can't, are you the same person? That's what God can do with forgiveness.
And then as we tell it like you're telling it, then he gets all the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory.
None of it goes to Kia Stevens. Please do not be deceived. No, it all goes. All of it. Every ounce of it goes to God.
Well, so evident, Kia. So evident. What a beautiful heart you have. And I know I want to stay connected to you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you and get to purchase your book. And so tell us how we can best do that.
Sure. You can find me on my little slice of the internet at www.kiastevens.com. And you can go /books. And that's where you can find the book and all the other details. But then you can also just do a Google search and put in Overcoming Father Wounds, and you'll see the pink and purple book. That's intentional because I wanted every woman to know that needs it. It's for you.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you for helping us to believe that a little forgiveness goes a long way and to help us to overcome our father wounds. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Kia Stevens. We hope that today helped you to forgive and to believe that a little forgiveness goes a long way. This week, your little task is to reflect on how completely God has forgiven you. Once you realize the magnitude of the forgiveness he has offered you, consider who in your life you need to forgive. Offer your forgiveness to them verbally, if appropriate, as well as inwardly in your heart. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can download free resources like the list tracker, the guided journal, and the conversation guide. You can purchase significant merchandise, and you can learn to leave a review for this podcast and a review for the devotional. I would so appreciate if you would take the time to do that so more women can find and hear about this significant message. Next week, my guest is Amanda Schaefer. She is on the show talking about how a little cup goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.